Good Monday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've got Caps tickets you can win at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. If you want to see the Caps take on the Montreal Canadiens on Halloween over at Capital One Arena. Danny, the win streak is over at 4, but the Commanders are still in first place at 4-2. They went to Baltimore. They went up a weight class. They lose 30-23, but it's in a misery Monday for me. I liked a lot of what I saw.
Yeah, same here. I was on the fortunate enough to be on the Sports Junkies this morning. They called me from my house, interrupted my pickleball game, but it was fine. It was all planned. I was wearing my weighted vest, by the way, in case you were worried. But that was the theme for me, is this was not got the doors blown off. This was Baltimore was better than they were, I thought, start to finish, deserved to win the football game, etc. The defense couldn't stop anybody. They went, as you said, went up a weight class. Things weren't easy for them on offense, which I actually think, again, big picture for this year is good. Like, I want defensive coordinators to take a couple things away, to force Jaden Daniels into something else and you know, force responses and things like that. Because big picture, long term, I'm still so bullish on him, so excited about him. And if everything is nothing but easy, then when it gets hard, you're not really able to do it. It's like that, you watch like March Madness, some team that's 34-0 coming into the tournament has been winning their games by 17, 18, 20 points a night. Then they're in a one-point game. They don't know what to do, right, because they pucker up. I like that Baltimore made it hard on them. It's a good experience for me. It's a bummer. I would have loved them for them to win the game, obviously, but I don't feel worse.
Yeah, actually, specific to Daniels, outside of the Bengals game, yesterday was probably as good as I felt. And it's not to say it was perfect, right? There was a dropped interception on a play that where he missed a guy. But it was really, really good on a day where they couldn't run the ball. Generally, they have been able to run all over teams. Mm-hmm. They've been ahead in games. It's 72 and sunny, as I like to say, and it's the ideal and perfect situation to be a quarterback in an NFL offense. Yesterday, you were chasing the game. There was pressure figuratively more than literally, although there was occasionally pressure in the pocket, too. But you knew every time you took the field, basically, you had to go score.
Yep.
On the road, tough environment, good team. And, oh, by the way, you don't have a running game. And, oh, by the way, your defense is getting shredded. Good luck. And they had a chance in the football game because of Jaden Daniels, in my opinion. Playing a superior team as a 7-point dog, your defense lays a complete egg. You cannot run the ball. You have a field goal blocked, and you leave points on the field at the end of the half. All those things happen for this team, and over the years, there's plenty of times, Danny, where you lose this game by 13, 14, yep, 17, whatever it is. They didn't. They were right there because I thought Daniels really gave them a chance. I thought McLaurin had his most impressive game of the season. I know he had a better statistical game against the Bengals, but the awesome third down catch on the sideline, the terrific diving touchdown catch on the sideline as well, had another touchdown catch in the game. I thought he was really, really good.
Yeah, some grown man wide receiver one catches there for sure.
Totally. Like, he looked the part. He had a very, very good game. But, yeah, I think we talked about it all week. Don't get outclassed. And don't look like you're not as good as we thought you were at 4-1. There's no harm in this season, in my opinion, with losing to really good football teams if you compete and do a lot of good things. And I'm sure people say, oh, there's no moral victories. I don't know what you want to call it. I'm not saying I'm you know, putting a sticker on my helmet after a loss, but you can do tough guy talk if you want to. I'm just dealing with reality, which is year one of Dan Quinn, rookie quarterback, 6 games in. You're 4-2. You're alone in first place. You got the Panthers coming to town, and I think you're in a pretty good spot.
I do too. So Baltimore did to Washington what Washington has been doing to opponents for the last month. I mean, you look at some of the gaudy totals, 36-plus minutes of time in possession, 484 total yards, ran it at will, threw it at will. They knew, you know, Monken and company are always like, we know what you're going to do ahead. In other words, when you go, all right, fine, we're sick of this. We're sick and tired of Derrick Henry, you know, bashing us for 4, 5, 6, 7. They go, we got something called for the next defense you're going to call. It's going to be Zay Flowers in breaking first down. He could have gone for 400 yards if they felt like it yesterday. Honestly, they had nobody that could cover that dude.
By the way, he did not get one target after halftime. I do not understand that. And I'm sure the Commanders made an adjustment and tried to take him away, but they didn't slip him a screen.
Yeah, I might have fed him the ball one more time.
He had 9 targets, 9 catches, 132 yards in the easiest first half any receiver has ever had.
Yeah, so especially that first play that he caught was a screen for 44 yards. I might have run that back to the opposite side, for example. But, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, this defense is undermanned. They're outclassed, outgunned. Baltimore's been doing this to everybody, and they're going to continue to do so, I think, as long as they're healthy and rolling. So I'm kind of going, yeah, that they're, you know, to borrow from Dennis Green, but to apply it here, they are who I thought they were, talking about Washington. This is still very exciting. The hay was in the barn. I don't want to call it a total house money game, but it was close, right? I mean, I still feel good about them in this division. I feel good about them in their place in the NFC. They're not quite to that awesome tier yet. Very few teams are at this point, right? I don't know how many occupy that rarefied air. And the fact is, they are light years better than the bottom bucket of garbage, frankly, that I thought they'd be in for most of this year.
Their resume going into this game was like top five-ish in football. Now it's top 10-ish, if we're just talking about the six games in a vacuum.
Yeah, there you go.
But around the division yesterday, the Cowboys got absolutely embarrassed.
Non-competitive.
I mean, the Lions were throwing the ball to linemen.
Mm-hmm.
More than receivers in the fourth quarter of that game. They were just doing fun, last day of the football season, your high school coach wants everyone to have a good time stuff. In an NFL game against the Cowboys on the road. They were embarrassing. And the Eagles barely beat the Deshaun Watson-led inept Cleveland Browns. And then Nick Sirianni screamed at the fans about it. For some reason, I don't understand.
I think that was a great choice.
And then, because he knew he was such a fool, as he always is, he brought his kids to the press conference to like sit on his lap, hiding behind them, figuratively, literally, whichever way you want to look at it. Ridiculous. But I digress. Yeah, I'm really happy with where they're at. Now, that does not mean I don't care about wins and losses. Hear me right now, right here, when I say, if they were to lose to the Carolina Panthers this week at home, the tone on this show, at least in my perspective, I won't speak for you, would be very, very different. You're an 8.5-point favorite at home. That never happens, by the way. These are waters we haven't swum in very much. But they're going to be a heavy favorite. Might even be bet up to 9, 9.5, who knows, before the kickoff of that game. You need to handle your business and come back and beat Carolina. And the expectation is that they're going to do that and do it handily. And if they do, it'll feel very different than years past, and they'll be 5-2, and they'll still be in first place for over a month running now. But this was not Carolina. And I do feel like the parts of the game where they struggled are the parts of the game where they're not that good. It was not enlightening, or, in my opinion, like a light was not shined on this roster in a way where we go, oh, maybe they do have a problem there. Their secondary, which we know is a problem, got beat badly.
Uh-huh.
They lacked pass rush for much of the game against the hardest team in the league where to sack the quarterback. We knew that was a thing. So I didn't view this as like some...
Not revealing, right? Where you go, I didn't know we couldn't do that either.
Totally.
Right.
It was fairly predictable, honestly. Mm-hmm. In fact, the conversation we had all week was they probably lose by a touchdown. They're both in the 20s, low 30s, and Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson both make some plays along the way. It's kind of what happened.
That's how it ended up going. The thing that's interesting to me, just with the game within the game, kind of nuanced stuff, I think for two straight weeks now, I think teams have keyed in on and figured out Washington's design quarterback runs. Now, I don't know if that's just because Baltimore had a good play, or I don't know if Cleveland had a good play here or there. But think about the touchdown that Washington scored against Arizona, where Jaden Daniels takes that pistol snap, it's student body right, he goes in behind some blockers, touchdown. Then, they tried something similar each of the last couple weeks, Cleveland stuffed it. Some of the read option keeper type looks. Teams have done a good job against that. So again, this is almost, if this is, hey, we're in a Super Bowl season, this is Pat Mahomes in his prime, we can't squander this, I'm going, oh God, what do we do? Here I'm going, yes, that's awesome, right? It's like a pitcher that just got to the major leagues and his changeup doesn't work. What are you going to do? Are you going to come up with a cutter? Are you going to start throwing a split finger, start throwing a screwball, start throwing something else? I love the idea that they have to respond now, because it seems like a couple straight weeks teams have figured that part of it out. So what are you going to do instead? Right? You're going to take something away. What can we take from you as kind of a response? I love that that's happening, right? It can't just all be easy, as Daniels has passed every test that he's been given pretty much to this point. So again, this is still net positive for me. I wish I had more angst and anger to come in and be like, that's annoying. I'm so mad. I'm just not.
Yeah. I mean, they got work defensively and they're not very good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
484 yards. They gave up 7.5 per play. They gave up 60% third down conversions. They gave up 75% conversions for touchdowns in the red zone. They forced all of 6 incompletions and allowed what is an abysmal 12.4 yards per attempt. And in the first half, they basically said, we're not letting Derrick Henry run the ball. That will not be happening. And he didn't. 9 carries, 38 yards. But they gave up the middle of the field to Flowers behind them. The second half, they said, we can't keep doing that. we'll give them a little bit more in the running game, and we'll take away more of the middle of the field stuff. And then Derrick Henry ran for 94 yards in the second half. So whatever they gave Baltimore, they took gladly and said thank you.
And had a great time doing it.
And it was also a bad game because they lose three players to injury. And in fact, we've got breaking news on one of those players right now into 106.7 The Fan.
According to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, the Commanders may have lost more than just the game yesterday. According to Pelissero, Commanders standout defensive tackle John Allen is feared to have suffered a significant pectoral injury that will require season-ending surgery. Allen looking to get a second opinion, but would be a huge loss for Washington, who currently sits atop the NFC East at 4-2.
Thank you, Linnell, for the breaking news here to 106.7 The Fan. So John Allen, potentially Danny loss for the year. He has been one of their best players over the last several seasons. He has had a down statistical year. He does get double-teamed and chipped a whole lot in the middle of the defensive line. They are deeper there where they've got Daron Payne, who's terrific, where they drafted Johnny Newton. That pick looks a little bit more fortuitous now as you plug him in, presumably as a starter. They kept Fedarian Mathis, a former second-round pick, around as well. And they do have a pretty heavy rotation. They lost two defensive ends yesterday, Dorrance Armstrong with a rib injury, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste was in a boot after the game. But if Allen is out for the year, a bad defense losing one of its best overall players is a very, very bad sign.
Yeah, when you have a bad group, regardless of whether Allen's had a banner year or not, and he is not, by all accounts, especially statistically measured, doesn't make you better. You know what I mean? It just makes it that you're going to have other folks step up. And I hate next man up. It's so cliched and hackneyed. But that has to happen. Guys are going to have to do more. Payne is going to have to be more productive than he's been. Johnny Newton went from rotational piece, presumably, to focal point. So that stinks for Allen on a number of fronts. Just a great dude who's done everything right since he's been here. Not much guaranteed money. I think no guaranteed money going in the next year. So maybe a free agent year for him. So that is not ideal, certainly for him. But yeah, I mean, the defense itself, it's like, at a certain point, you're not saying you can afford to lose anybody. You don't root for injuries or you know, can even deal with them. But there are certain spots where you could probably deal with it a little bit better. You know, if like, I'm trying to think of a good example. I don't have one. But if, you know, if somebody at the linebacker spot was out and you have four or five guys that are waiting in the wings, that's fine. But this is a weak group that's gotten a little bit weaker. I mean, they're not getting after the passer. They're not disruptive. And not having John Allen, who's been capable, who has had times where he's been that disruptive force, that's not going to help you.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, reporting Jonathan Allen could be done for the season. And this is something we've been hearing rumblings of, I will say, at the radio station over the last few hours, that this was presumably going to be a pretty serious injury, that it could cost him much of, if not the remainder of his season. And the team is currently fearing that he will miss the entirety of the season recovering from this torn pec. I will say, and this is, you know, not the time maybe to break this down as you kick a guy at the worst moment of his recent career here. But at 29 years old, the counting stats, the production, the pressures, the hurry, some of those things for Allen are down this
season. Haven't been there, yeah.
So this is not maybe replacing him in 2021 when he was on his way to 9 sacks, or 2022 when he was on his way to 7.5, those 2 years where he made the Pro Bowl. It has not quite been the same, and they're being run on. Like, they were run on when he was in the game. They're run on when he wasn't in the game. Are they better without John Allen? Of course not. But I think moving on without John Allen might be less of a mission and a task and less arduous this year than a couple of years ago, just based on, yep, A, the personnel at that position. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're good on their defensive line because I think their defensive end position room is still problematic. But at defensive tackle specifically, Danny, I think that they can probably get by with it being more of a setback and a bummer than like a death sentence defensively. You're already,
I think,
bad.
That's right. Yeah.
And you're built with defensive tackles that it shouldn't be a game changer.
Yeah, like if the Giants lost Dexter Lawrence, right, who, and you know, nobody behind him was any good, he's playing at a 9 or 10.0 level at this stage, right? He's got, what, 7 or 8 sacks through 6 games. If you lose John Allen, your defensive line was probably playing at a 3. It's now going to be a 2. So, it's like, in other words, you're not better, but you also weren't good to begin with. It's, as you said, it's not a couple years ago where he was wreaking havoc. So, again, I have more feel for the guy who, you know, finally was getting to enjoy some of the spoils, right? Some of the positive attention. No questions about dysfunction.
Exactly.
It's questions about how cool is this? How fun is this? How much fun are you having compared to other years? And wouldn't you like to be part of this? And isn't this cool? Those are all gone now because you're potentially done for the year.
Yeah, offensively, they're already in a position where if they don't play great, they don't win. So if you start to have an attrition rate where you're losing some bodies on defense, I don't think the algorithm changes. Maybe how great you've got to be might change some, but you think about some of the late season runs too with this team over the years when they win 4 in a row, 5 in a row, 7 in a row, they get into the playoffs. There are big time injuries along the way, and they just matter less when kind of that special dust is sprinkled in the locker room and guys elevate their game and coaches find a way to work around some of those deficiencies. But big loss, no doubt about that, on the defensive line. If John Allen's out, I mean, this is a guy that was seen as a top three player organizationally over the last few seasons. They've obviously brought in a new heart and soul that kind of leads a lot of the speeches and gives a lot of the pump-up talks before the game in Frankie Louvu, and his role will continue to grow in that regard if Allen is indeed out. But that's the breaking news into the fan right now, that the expectation is that John Allen could be out for the remainder of the season. He will seek another opinion on that peck. But they're going to have to make some adjustments defensively. I just think it's what we talked about last week. Yards are going to be given up. Points are going to be allowed. They need takeaways. Think about it. The first drive of the game, they give up the 40-plus yard screen. Baltimore's slicing through them like a knife through butter. There's no stopping the Ravens. And then Lamar mistargets Mark Andrews on a little quick out, throws it wide of the basically the catch radius, slaps off his hand up into the air, and Noah Igbinoghene gets his hands on the ball. Excuse me, Mike Sanders-Still, first career interception, gets his hand on the ball, and he gets the first pick of the season for the Commanders. First one in week six in their sixth game. Danny, they had played 20-plus quarters of football without one interception. Like they just have to turn teams over more to make up for all the stuff they allow.
Without question. And again, this is not me being critical of the regime. I'm just offering a parallel. If you go back to the last group where it's like, okay, defensive-minded head coach, defensive coordinator with head coach experience, that's the group that's going to be strong. And they both played linebacker. So that group will thrive even if they don't have big names. And then, of course, they didn't. What this group was known for, Joe Witt, Dan Quinn by extension, is what? If you had to pick one word, turnovers. Every assignment they've turned in over the years has been, we might give up some stuff here and there. You might get us on you know, this extra set of motion or this throwback pass, or we might over-pursue here and there, but we are going to disrupt you. We're going to turn it over. And they haven't done that to this point. I think it's a personnel thing. And the way I think of turnovers, again, it's more maybe more process-wise, where it's like waves crashing on the shore, and then eventually one time it gets rid of the sand dune. You know what I mean? It's like you constantly are pressuring, constantly are hurrying. You force that one high throw. You force a receiver, to have his timing disrupted. You get that punch in the backfield, or hit the quarterback for a sack fumble. Those things are not happening consistently. So you look up and you go, man, we don't have any turnovers.
Let's give out some game balls to the best and gassers to the worst next. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for the first time today at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Also want to give our take on Jaden Daniels' performance. We'll do that as soon as we return. They lose for the second time in six games, but I thought Daniels, who didn't have a running game to buoy him and was mostly kept in the pocket, showed really well as a passer. We'll get into that next on The Fan. We're live on 106.7 all over the DMV. You can also stream us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page if you want to watch video of the show. Thanks for making the program part of your day. Odyssey app makes us available wherever you go. Pause and rewind to the program. Before we get to game balls to the best and gassers for the worst, I wanted to talk Jaden Daniels really quickly because let's face it, that is the biggest storyline every game. That is the biggest deal with this team in 2024 and will be until the final snap of this season, whenever that comes. I actually thought Jaden Daniels was uber impressive in Baltimore for a couple of reasons, but he was mostly kept in the pocket. The Ravens had a plan, occasionally spying him with Roquan Smith and not wanting him to leave the pocket to his right. I found something really interesting, too. I don't know if you heard this on the telecast. I was rewatching last night because I went to the game. But Tony Romo said when he leaves the pocket running to his left, he never throws. He always runs. When he leaves the pocket to his right, he stays basically in the hunt and looks downfield and tries to throw.
Now, he has run going to the right, of course. I mean, think of the fourth down against Cleveland or whatever. But, yes, for the most part, if he goes left, it's a run every time.
So that's something he's got to fix and clean up because you can't have that tell where as soon as you turn to your left and take off out of the pocket, the play is dead because you're running. But I just thought that was interesting. Having said that, though, Washington couldn't run the ball. That's been his best friend, and he's the reason why their running game is so good. They basically said, beat us from the pocket. And while Washington didn't win the game, offensively, plenty, they won. They did some good things from the pocket. There was a play that I haven't heard anyone talk about that is so smart, and it's one of those, oh my God, this guy's awesome and special kind of moments. Do you remember with 16 seconds left in the half, they're moving down the field to get into field goal range, and he spikes a ball at the feet of Austin Ekeler. That play was legit football brilliant. For a rookie quarterback, six games in, you do not see that. In real time, people are like, oh, that's a bad pass. He spiked it at Austin Ekeler. No, he's saving time. That's just a 400-level quarterbacking play. I don't care about one incompletion. I don't care about this one snap. Let's kill the clock, and let's live to fight another day to get more yards to go get the field goal. How great was that play?
It was, and I'm kind of, at first went, wait, what? Oh, one of those kind of moves, right? Where I go, now I see what the plan was. And it got him into a spot where they could attempt a field goal, at least.
You could throw it to him for a catch, right? And maybe he gets a few yards. He
stays in bounds. You lose all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So he just spiked it at his feet. I thought that was awesome. There was an under center play action drop back pass that nobody will care about that I tweeted out at Grant H. Paulson. That is everything that I love and want in a QB. It's I'm not calling it gimmicks. I'm not going to go full Cam Taylor Britt, but like the stuff that is the blend of college and the NFL and the dual threat and the read option and the pistol and whatever all that table dressing stuff is. And it works. It's become the NFL. This was under center, play action, drop back, throw to the middle of the field like it's, you know, name your pocket passer that doesn't run ever. Just NFL legitimate drop back game stuff. Remember that play? It was legit terrific.
Which play?
The one I just explained. The under center, drop back, Terry McLaurin, middle of the field.
Oh, it was a McLaurin shot.
Beautiful. Love how he handled the end of half situation. Right before the field goal. Gets a 9-yard scramble, gets down. Perfect passes to the sideline to Noah Brown. Couple of darts to Olamide Zaccheaus. Like the whole execution from the plan from Kingsbury to the quarterbacking to the offense getting to the sideline to the spike in the ball at Eckler's feet. Everything had to go right to get a 50-plus yard field goal off, and they did it.
My favorite play was a drop by Zaccheaus that Romo pointed out on the telecast, actually, where Daniels is, it's all small window manipulation, right? It's not the, you're throwing it 50 yards down the field, so you turn one way and have the safety go cover the wrong guy. This is all within a pretty narrow frame where you move Kyle Hamilton a step to his left, who's lurking in the passing lanes, hoping that you try to force something in there and stare it down. And then he zips the ball into Zaccheaus, who dropped it. Would have been a first down. And instead they had to punt. So that actually ended up looming really large over the course of the game. And who knows if it's different if he makes the catch or not. But that was one of those plays where I went, that was so high level. That's so different than he's a scrambler. And it's, you know, if it's not there, I immediately tuck and run. That was just NFL quarterback stuff, right? Where you're manipulating people, you're moving defenders around, letting your receiver work to that sort of, not second level exactly, but kind of second level, in front of the first layer, behind the first layer, in front of the second layer. Ball was there, Zaccheaus doesn't make the catch. But, you know, then you go into the touchdown throw, of course, which was just incredible. Enough pace to be, over the linebacker, but enough touch to drop it in the bucket to McLaurin. You're just going, we got it. We got the thing.
Both touchdown passes were perfect. The first one, I think 25 starting quarterbacks in the league make, but it's still a damn good throw. The second one was legit flawless. Like, take the average quarterback in the league out to the field right now and say, convert this here, that back shoulder ball to McLaurin falling down. You can't walk it over there better. I mean, it's just ball placement. There was a throw to Ertz where he slides in the pocket to his right. They pick up 24 yards on a 2nd and 5 from just across midfield where he switches the protection right before the play. He tells Jeremy Nichols, who's on his right, to get to his left. He then gets a little block in, but he doesn't completely win. So the rusher is about to blow up Daniels and does, but he buys just a split second more for Ertz to come out of his break by moving to his right, and then he throws a perfect pass on just it was a five-step drop, you know, out of shotgun, basically. I mean, there were a lot of those moments in a game where they couldn't run it, where he didn't run a ton, where he was in the pocket, and I just thought he acquitted himself really, really well.
Me too. Yeah, this was not an easy day, and you still have all the Ravens players post-game, whether it was Roquan Smith or other guys going, yeah, that dude's legit. Like, that's impressive. Because they know, right, where they took away your favorite toy. You took away your favorite easy button, right, which is some of the your own run plays, the offensive run design, whether it was Eckler, it's Ben Robinson. Of course, he missed this week.
Yeah.
They need him back, by the way, just a little bit of that thumper in the middle. But you take away all that, and you go, okay, be one-dimensional. And if they had the ball longer, like if their defense was forcing, what are those words, punts every now and again, you might have seen more points. You might have seen more things. But they only had the ball for 23, 24 minutes as Baltimore was just walking up and down the field getting 15 to 20 yards a pop. But those guys know that guy's legit.
Yeah. I keep hearing everyone like posting the quotes from other players, and maybe we'll disagree on this. I've never cared about that, to be honest with you. There's certainly like a real recognizes real, but they also love Justin Fields. You know what I'm like? Players like playmakers. They like football players. They like guys who are hard to tackle and get to. And, you know, from a quarterbacking standpoint, the stuff that isn't sexy is the stuff I care about too. So I'm glad Roquan Smith is impressed. Like, that is never really going to move the needle for me as much as just the plays being made or not made, watching the game for myself, or like what talent evaluators are saying. Because I think players like players. You know, look at the top 100. I think Patrick Mahomes was named the fifth best player in the NFL last year or something like that. Like, okay, I suppose. I'm sure that's a good ranking. But I digress. All right, let's get to the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. The question for you guys is, who gets your game ball and who gets your gasser? Danny, kick it off. Game ball, please.
Go game ball. Terry McLaurin, badass. Now, the overall numbers, you're going to go, what are you talking about? 6 for 53. Obviously, 2 touchdowns stands out, but that's a grown man, 6 for 53. I've seen 6 for 53. Then I've seen that 6 for 53. Every inch hard earned, right? Some of those catches in traffic, diving catches with a hand in there where he's barely able to hold onto the football, including the second touchdown. I thought that was a grown-up number one wide receiver day.
Who gets your gasser, Danny?
Gasser, for me, we could pick a whole bunch of folks. I think ultimately, this defensive line, at a certain point, you've got to do something. At a certain point, a couple of the highest paid guys on the roster, now obviously they'll be without John Allen for a while, but where's my disruption? Where's my occasional negative play? Down in, down out, you're not going to do it to the Ravens. They're really good. They do this to a lot of people. But where was my, that guy couldn't block you on that play, you ripped him, threw it on the side, and blew up the run play before it started? That just didn't seem to be on the table at any point yesterday.
I'll give my game ball to Noah Brown. I think he has added a lot and is a really, really good wide receiver too for them. You mentioned McLaurin, who would have gotten it. So I'll just go with Brown, 4 for 58. He also had the big pass interference that he drew down the field, nearly 30 yards on that shot to the sideline. So he gets my game ball. As far as the gasser goes, I mean, you can pick really anybody in the secondary you want to. I think Benjamin St. Juste gets beat up on way too much within this fan base. I think he was on basically an island in a terrible spot. He's not a guy that should be defending twitchy, small, fast receivers. He's a corner two playing corner one. I thought he acquitted himself mostly okay. One of the two PIs he got called was not a pass interference, in my penalty. And they had him one-on-one in man because they were playing in the box to defend Derrick Henry for much of the first half. But it's still, all that said, all of those excuses out of the way for why he's not, you know, the meme that everyone's creating to be on social media, I'll give him a gasser because he is asked to right now be a shutdown number one corner against a guy like Zay Flowers, and it just didn't work. Let's go to Jay, who's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jay?
What's up, you guys?
Hey, buddy.
Appreciate y'all taking my call. I wanted to give a gasser to Ron Rivera, the ghost of Ron Rivera and his draft picks. I want to give a game ball to Javonte Baptiste. I think he's been playing pretty well for like a late-round pick. Terry was a grown man out there, and Tressway for just being great. My best game ball goes to the team for just going toe-to-toe with another team that was a lot more talented than them. And we missed that thump in the thump and grind crew. And it shows how much we really missed Brian Robinson. I also want to say it was like the whitest thing ever that you say like thump and grind had anything to do with Usher, man. Like, come on. that was just horrible.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I'm very guilty of that. Yeah,
I think it was my line. I said it made me think of Usher, but I don't know. That's the music that you'd put on when you were grinding on someone in seventh grade. So that's the last time I've thought about.
But it's a play on an R. Kelly song. And you were like, that reminds me of Usher, instead of like, it's okay. The Bump and Grinds R. Kelly.
Well, I was not thinking of the actual song no, Bump and Grind as much as the, you know, the type of music.
You and I, we're
and
on the same page.
Usher's more synonymous than a felon who's done some pretty terrible things. I don't name check him that often.
No, I get that.
In the 2020s at this point.
I get it.
I could have, I guess, if we go back in time. You want me to give, you know, if you want me to give R. Kelly more love, which it sounds like you want me to do.
I don't.
I'm willing to do that. 800-636-1067 is the number you want to jump in. Game ball to the best, gasser to the worst. Top of the hour. Did yesterday's result make you feel better, worse, or the same as you did about the Commanders going into the game? You're listening to The Fan.
Second and goal from 6 yards away. Daniels back in the end zone. McLaurin has it for the Washington touchdown. Right over the top of Marcus Williams.
The Commanders fell in Baltimore 30-23. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. They're 4-2. They come home to take on the Carolina Panthers. I do feel like this Carolina game will be maybe even more telling than the Baltimore game was. Like, I like what we learned. Feels like they can play with anybody. You know, it feels like they're going to be able, with Jaden Daniels at the controls, to compete in every single game this year. But don't you agree that if they come home now in a letdown spot and beat Carolina handily, like, they're just officially, like, legit good. Now it's 5-2. You remain in first. You're beating all the bad teams. Cardinals, Browns, Giants. You play a team that's not very good. You work them.
Yeah, it becomes validating, right? Because it's either four games where they played well or who they are, right? Because those four games happened, and it's now we get a bigger lens and a wider view, and we figure it out. So now that we go back and look at the Giants game, for example, after they did what they did to Cincinnati, then what they did to Arizona and Cleveland, where you go, actually, this offense is awesome, and they just weirdly sabotage themselves in the red zone, and they scored every drive. They didn't score touchdowns, but now we kind of look at this offense and go, oh my God, they are that good. It wasn't just they're going up against the bad Giants. The more data we get, the more validating or, you know, fluky something becomes, right? So those 4 weeks happen and we're trying to figure out what to make of it. So data turned in so far tells me, yeah, they're good enough to beat all the bad teams on their schedule. You do that, you end up with 9 or 10 wins.
Let's go to Vic, who's an Akakik, wants to give out a game ball and a gas, or you could do the same. 800-636-1067. Who gets your game ball, Vic?
Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels proved yesterday that even though the Ravens defended him well from being mobile and getting north and south, they defended his ability to use the RPO with his legs. They defended his ability. They took away the running game. And everyone kept saying, we're going to see what he is when he has to be a volume passer. He proved that I'm an elite passer. I'm an elite passer with my eyes. I'm an elite passer how I pre-snap and post-snap and where I put the ball to where only my receivers can catch it. I am very confident in the quarterback that we drafted for the next 10 years. Now, my gasser, Joe Witt, I want to keep saying it. I do hear you guys. I hear everybody saying it, including Vincent Akakik, that we don't have talent. But this is my issue. We didn't know if we had talent on the offensive line to even help Jaden be an elite passer about 2 months ago. And what we heard was Joe gets angry, and Joe gets after it, and Joe has accountability. We thought we were going to be a four-win team. So what baffles me is I keep saying this. The things that we are not doing, we're not playing with eyes. We're not thinking when we should be thinking so that linebackers and safeties, quarterbacks at times when backers sink to the flats, give tighter windows. Tony Romo also said this. We talked about what Tony Romo said. He said Flowers is getting across the field. He said if the backer would sink a little deeper, or if the safety or if the defensive back would sink a little deeper in the window where the man, he's been picked up in man, it would tighten Lamar's windows just a bit. It happened in the first quarter, and we got the interception on the first series.
Well, they got sliced and diced in zone in the first half. So a lot of those responsibilities you're talking about, Vic, were not executed. But if you're asking me to make a blame pie for why you gave up 323 on 20 completions, or why you gave up 12 yards per attempt, or why you gave up a net of 484 yards and 7.4 a pop, I think this was not only a bad matchup on paper for a defense that just doesn't have very good personnel, but I would also say that you have to choose when you play Baltimore, when you're as limited as Washington is. Are you going to let them run the ball with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, the best rushing tandem, 1-2, as a quarterback and back this deep into a season in league history? Or are you going to dare Lamar Jackson to beat you? And because he's not as accurate as Jaden Daniels is, misfire occasionally like he did on the pick, where he was inaccurate, it bounces off a hand and into your guy's hands. That's what they bet on in the first half. Now, I thought they had way too much real estate that they were giving up, so the throws were way too easy. There weren't even oftentimes anybody around the DB, which might be what Vic's talking about. But in the first half of the game, Danny, their plan, at least from a running standpoint, worked. They stacked the box. 9 carries for 38 yards for Derrick Henry. Nothing really explosive. They got crushed in the passing game. So in the second half, they said, okay, well, we're not going to let Zay Flowers run these crossers. We're going to sink a little more. We're going to take away the middle of the field. Our safety's going to come up some. Derrick Henry, 15 for 94. Ate him for lunch. It was just a pick your poison. The first half, they picked the running game. The second half, they picked the passing game. And the other was the poison.
Yeah. Kansas City, whose defense is good, gave up 452 yards to this group in week number one. The Raiders gave up had the best totals against or allowed. 383, 456, 427, 520, 484. Washington just joined everyone else, right? I mean, I understand they're not great there, and they probably could have been coached better, or maybe there's some nuance and finer points that they could execute better. And, you know, your coach's eyes can see that, whereas, you know, a schlub like me may or may not. But I know this, I can't stand it when, say, like the Giants offense that's anemic and scored 7 points last night, basically, moves it up and down the field against you. And they're the only ones. Baltimore is doing this to everybody right now. Like, if you play the Ravens, please expect 450 yards plus of offense.
Yeah,
that's what's happening.
I think a good defense makes it harder, though, Washington did.
Of course, and this is not one.
And that's what I would say to Vic is, this is not a good defense, and the difference between maybe how he feels and how I feel is, I don't expect a coach to make filet mignon hamburger, to make hamburger helper filet mignon. That's not a reality. I'm sorry, it's not. Now, if you want to hit on something this staff may have botched, and there's very few things they haven't done really, really well. They are batting a Major League Baseball Hall of Fame record-breaking batting average in terms of the draft and free agency and what they evaluated this roster to look like. But they decided, let's give Emmanuel Forbes another shot as a starter, and let's see if we can coach him up and fix him. He was deactivated yesterday. So the pick of him in the first round haunts them still, clearly. They also, as a front office this offseason, had the choice.
So let's be patient.
Do we want to upgrade the secondary? Do we want to go get corners or not? And they said, let's see what the kids have. And that is hurting them. You're not going to fix everything in year one. This was supposed to have been a rebuild, recalibrate, and they're way ahead of schedule. And maybe if they knew what this would look like in October, they would have done some things differently. But they brought in Michael Davis. That was a miss. They let Kendall Fuller walk. $7.5 million per year he signed for in the AFC. That was probably the wrong decision. So I'll harp on all of the good things because I think Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and this crew have been a godsend mostly. But if you want to find one glitch so far or one thing that has backfired, their plan at cornerback, which was the one position group, if you remember, that I singled out when we talked to Adam Peters before the season. Hey, man, Emmanuel Forbes, are you sure? Hey, this corner room, are you sure? Michael Davis, really? And he kind of, you know, what he said publicly might not be what he actually thinks behind the scenes, but he endorsed those guys, said they're way better than people think. Forbes was ready to break out. They either misevaluated that, or they just knew we're going to take our lumps, and this will be one of the areas where we're not very good in year one.
Yeah, we're sort of stuck here. There's only so much we could do. We could throw a ton of money at it and be marginally better. Kind of like the Nationals, right? You could have spent $20 million on a bat, $25 million on a pitcher, and finished in second to last place this year. You know, maybe that was the thinking.
Next on Grant and Danny, here on The Fan, right at the top of the hour. Going into the game, Washington had won 4 in a row. A first-place team that people were putting in the top 3 and 4 in power rankings in the NFL. They lose to Baltimore. Do you feel better, worse, or the same as you did before kickoff? Grant and Danny on The Fan.